So my dad still sends out those funny email jokes. You know those kind? They're the like the forward of the forward of the forward. You get one email and then you forward it out to all your friends. I thought we stopped doing that in the 1900s, but my dad doesn't know, so he still sends them out. But anyway, here's a selection from this week's email. A little boy was overheard praying, "Lord, if you can't make me a better boy, don't worry about it. I'm having a real good time as I am." And then this one, after the dedication of his baby brother in church, Jason sobbed all the way home in the back seat of the car. His father asked him 3 times what was wrong. Finally, the boy replied, "The preacher said he wanted us to be brought up in a Christian home, and I want to stay with you." Usually we like things the way that they are. We're not looking for big change. Change can be scary, right? But there's times in our lives when things aren't good and we need change, but we just can't figure out what that looks like. Maybe we can see the solution, but there's no path to get there. This is the kind of faith that our Hebrews verses today tackle. Hebrews 11, 29 to 31. 3 stories, 3 examples of faith. Before we get there, one more selection from Dad's email. Maybe your prayer today is that you'd be delivered from my cheesy emails. This one might help. "I'd been teaching my 3-year-old daughter, Caitlin, the Lord's Prayer for several evenings at bedtime. She would repeat after me the lines from the prayer. Finally, she decided to go solo. I listened with pride as she carefully enunciated each word right up to the end of the prayer. 'Lead us not into temptation,' she prayed, 'but deliver us from email.'" That happened in the Lidstone. Amen. That happened in the Lidstone house one time. I usually speak the number 6 blessing over the kids as part of the tuck. And one time it was repeated back to me, concluding with, "And give Dad your precious peas." Okay, there, we're done with that. So 3 stories today. We'll get to our Hebrews verses in a bit. You can flip there now if you like to know where we're going. Hebrews 11, 29 to 30. But we won't get there. We won't read it together for a bit. The first story is about the Israelites' escape from Egypt. Remember, they'd been slaves in Egypt. Moses convinces Pharaoh to set them free. Pharaoh then has a change of heart and leads his army in hot pursuit of the Israelites. This is where we pick up the story. Exodus 14, verses 6 to 9. Pharaoh heads out in hot pursuit. So Pharaoh had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zephon. Exodus 13, 18 suggests that the Israelites departed from Ramses, prepared for battle. But listen, they had no hope against the Egyptian army. They couldn't, they were no match to fight them, and there's no way they could outrun them. So when they got to the Red Sea, we usually depict this as the sea on one side, Egyptian army on the other side, nowhere to go. And that's accurate, but read it again. Even if God hadn't brought them to this place, that is, even if they weren't blocked by the sea, they'd still be in trouble. They couldn't flee faster than the Egyptian army, and they certainly wouldn't be able to defeat them in battle. Have you been there before? Maybe this is where you're at today, right? Think of the Israelites. The Egyptians are coming. The Egyptians are in hot pursuit. The Red Sea is here, but even if they could get across it, they're not going to escape the Egyptians. It's an impossible problem. Enemies are closing in. Your only escape route is blocked, but who cares? Even if the escape route wasn't blocked, this is an enemy that you can't escape. So we'll circle back to this story after we check the other two stories. Next story. After the Israelites escape from Egypt, they eventually make their way to the Promised Land. And they send 12 spies to scope it out. The spies come back. 10 spies are like, no way, too scary, we're not going in there. Two of the spies say, listen, the Lord is with us. Don't fear the people of the land. But instead, the Israelites, they do wimp out. They don't enter the Promised Land. God's not happy about that. And so for 40 years, the Israelites have to wander around in the desert until the next generation is ready to give it another go. Finally, the 40 years is up. It's go time. Moses has died. Joshua is now the leader of the Israelites. He was one of those two spies that 40 years earlier had gone in and said, hey, we can do this with God on our side. He'd urged the Israelites to take the land. Caleb, his buddy, was the other spy. And so here, 40 years later, the Israelites, they cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. Then they camp out in the shadow of the city Jericho. It's all fortified with big walls. Now what? 40 years, the Israelites have been waiting, even longer, hundreds of years they've been waiting to enter the Promised Land. And now they're confronted with this fortified city. This time, if you read the account in the book of Joshua, you'll see that there's a fresh boldness and faith. The Israelites, they're ready to go. Maybe you've been in that place before. Or maybe you're there today where you've been waiting a long time. You know what you have to do. You're on fire to do what God is calling you to do. It's go time. And then you're hit with this obstacle that you can't see a way around. Our last story that we're looking at today is Rahab. The story of Rahab. Rahab was a woman that lived in the city of Jericho. She'd heard about Yahweh, the God of the Israelites. When the spies this time came in, two spies again came in to scope out the land when the Israelites were getting ready to come in. And when these two spies came in, she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. Right? Everybody within Jericho, they were scared. They'd heard about the Israelites. And so when these spies came in, she said that they'd heard of them. She'd heard how God had saved the Israelites 40 years earlier when the Egyptians were chasing them. She'd also heard that the Israelite army had utterly destroyed two kings on the other side of the Jordan River. So of course, when these spies arrive, she's thinking her city, the city of Jericho, is next. It seems Rahab runs the local gentlemen's club. So what can she do to avoid this coming destruction? And she there's nothing she can do. She's stuck. Maybe this story is familiar to some of us. Maybe you've heard about the tragedy that befell some other people. Maybe it was their own fault. Maybe they sided with the wrong team, as it were, got in with the wrong crowd. Now you can see the same fate approaching. It's not looking good. You're stuck with the wrong group of people. Maybe they're pulling you down. Most of us know how each of these three stories ends. We know the happy ending. But set that aside for a second. Think about this without knowing the happy ending, without knowing how it's gonna play out. Think about the Israelites in sight of the Egyptian army. There's no escape. Or the Israelites in the shadow of Jericho's walls. This is too strong for us. Or Rahab chatting with the spies, right? It seems that I'm next. I've seen this in my life. I bet you've seen this in your life. Lord, I don't see a way out of this. I can go this way or that way, but neither of these options helps me. Or sometimes it just gets too messy. Have you been there? Lord, I tried to control this. I tried to prevent this situation. I prepared for war. But one thing after another, circumstances, the enemy, I messed up. So I plotted a backup plan, but now this is too crazy. I can't even see a path to a good outcome. You're stuck. There's no way out. When you go to seminary, to pastor school, they try to teach you to be a pastor in, in 3 years. I'm finishing up my last class this December, so then I'll finally be qualified to be a pastor. Whoop, woohoo! No, but I've been taking a few classes at Ambrose University, and it's good, but you can only squeeze so much into 3 years. We take a little bit of Greek and Hebrew, just a little bit to make us, just enough to make us dangerous, some Bible classes and theology. We have to take one counseling class, and so I'm telling you this so you don't think that I'm a counseling guru. I've taken my one counseling class, all right? one of these counseling methods, it's called solution focused. And I ran this next part of today's message past Julie. She's the counseling guru in our family. And she said, man, that's kind of right. So whatever, it's still going to be helpful. And I believe that this is the message that God put on my heart for us today. So the idea with solution focused therapy is that you focus on the solution. You don't work through issues from your past. You don't consider your environment. You don't start by looking at the path to get to the solution. You're just solution focused. And there's this question that's sometimes asked in solution focused therapy. It's called the miracle question. And part of the question suggests in the middle of the night, there's a miracle. And the problem that brought you here is all solved. But because this happens while you're sleeping, you have no idea that there was a miracle and the problem is solved. The therapy method then goes on to ask some other questions, some other specific questions, and it's super helpful and super effective in certain types of therapeutic counseling. Of course, there are times when we want to work through issues from our past or consider the environment or make a specific plan for right now, but at other times, solution focused, right? We focus on the solution. The miracle question, it's sometimes the question that we as Christians need to ask in faith. The big problem that I have, what would the world look like if, poof, this problem was gone? Not thinking about how we'd get there. A bit like begin with the end in mind. But even that's a tool for figuring out the steps we take now. I guess solution-focused is too. But in these faith examples in Hebrews today, the point is that these problems, they're all too big. There is no solution. Have you ever been there? Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, we get ourselves into such a pickle that we can't even conceive of what we should do to solve the problem. If that's where you're at, focus on the solution. We should always live by faith. I think sometimes God brings us through these impossible situations to get us back on that faith path. So, three stories, three problems. Are you ready for the three solutions? Watch this. These problems, the solutions that come up there, if you didn't already know the solutions, these aren't likely the solutions that you'd come up with. The Israelites were being overtaken by the Egyptian army. Now what? Here's what happened to the Israelites. Exodus 11:29. But the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Great, but what about those Egyptians that were chasing them? Exodus 11:28. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. Problem solved. What about the Israelites faced with the city of Jericho? Joshua 6:20. The wall collapsed, so the Israelites charged straight in, and they took the city. The walls of Jericho fell. The fortified city was no longer fortified. Problem solved. And what about Rahab? Joshua 6:25. But Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her. Problem solved. See what happened here in each of these three stories. God had a solution that was bigger, maybe different than the original problem. And in each case, it was a little bit anticlimactic, right? If you ever watched a show that has commercial breaks, or if you get sucked into a series that the storyline arcs and you get stuck binge watching for 6 hours or whatever. Then you're familiar with the cliffhanger, right? Where it gets right to the end of the episode or right before the commercial break, and there's the cliffhanger. The car is about to crash. Oh no! Commercial break. Fast forward over the commercial break. The car is about to crash. Oh no! Then the hero taps on the brakes and stops the car, right? What? That's it? Like, that's the solution to this big problem? How often does that happen? And I think I found that these anticlimactic endings, they do happen frequently. It seems that the ending doesn't match up with how urgent the situation at the end of the last episode was, or the end, or before the break. This especially happens in cartoons. If you ever watch cartoons with your kids, it's like a big problem, and then it's like, it's silly. If you watch cartoons, you'll see what I'm talking about. But sometimes the endings just don't, or the solution, it's so anticlimactic, it just doesn't live up to the hype that kept you hooked onto that show. So I believe that I think that this is tied to something that we know to be true, an eternal truth. Whatever dramatic, whatever out of this world and possible problem we found ourselves in, oh no, the solution that God brings, it's usually pretty anticlimactic because he's pretty awesome and this problem isn't a big deal for him, right? And so we get to hear, and it's like, really? That was the solution you had in mind, God? And then we remember, oh, God, you're so awesome. But usually when we're back here, when we're stuck in this problem, for whatever reason, we forget that God is awesome and that this isn't a big deal for him, that he's got a solution in mind. Amen. Amen. So the solution that God brings, it's usually pretty anticlimactic for him anyway. Sometimes God does big. I mean, the solutions here, they're all pretty big. But for our God, none of them is a big deal. Whatever the problem you're in, the solution that God has planned is not too hard for him. Remember that. That's truth. Whatever the problem that you're in, whatever you're stuck in today, the solution that God has planned is not too hard for him. When God works in super miraculous ways, he sometimes makes it look too easy. We're tempted to think that it's not a big deal. And it's not for him, of course, but we need to be reminded that no matter how big the problem is, it's not a big deal for God. So three problems, three solutions or outcomes, and now three steps of faith that occurred between the problem and the solution. Watch these. At the time, these wouldn't have looked like they were on the path to the desired solution. Watch these steps of faith, the ways that they go. It doesn't look like it's a line between the solution, or sorry, the problem and the solution. So the Egyptians were in hot pursuit, right? What did the Israelites do by faith? Exodus 14:22. And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Right? How did that help the Egyptians? They were still in hot pursuit. We know how that helped. But think about it from the Israelites' perspective at the time. Before they took that step of faith and passed through the Red Sea, the Israelites, they were showing an incredible lack of faith. They were scared. Exodus 14, starting at verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Where's that faith there that Hebrews is gushing about? Well, then this is awesome. Moses calls them to have faith. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." We can do the same thing. Pray for the solution, then follow whatever wacky plan God calls us to. Even if we can't see how that plan gets us any closer to a solution. Here's something. This path through the Red Sea, for the Israelites, it was a blessing, but for the Egyptians, it was a curse. Ever been there? This path, it's good or bad. By faith, trust God to use it for good. Brothers and sisters, if you're in the same place as the Israelites were, let me call you to faith right now. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you. The enemy, the problem, the sin, the hopelessness that you see today, a day will come when you will never see it again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still. So that's the escape from Egypt. What about the fortified city of Jericho? Well, God tells Joshua the plan. The passage in Joshua 6 seems to suggest that it's pre-incarnate Jesus that speaks to Joshua. He says, march around the city 6 days. On the seventh day, march around the city 7 times. Blow the horns, shout, and the walls will fall. See, here God did tell Joshua the plan and the solution. It still required faith. This plan does lead to a solution by faith. Maybe God's telling you what he's going to do and how he's going to do it, but the how doesn't line up with the solution. That's how our God works sometimes. We don't always need to be putting the pieces together. Sometimes the steps that he's calling you to, you can't see how that leads to the solution that he has in mind. We do it by faith, friends. And finally, Rahab was saved. But what was in between? What happened in between the problem and the solution? Rahab's step of faith involved hiding the spies. After she hid the spies, she even went so far as to bargain with them. I hid you, you save me. Still, she's definitely at the disadvantage in this arrangement. It's only by faith that she can see the spies keeping their end of the bargain. In Hebrews 11:31, we see that by faith she hid the spies. She hid the spies before making this agreement. Joshua chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, Rahab says to the spies, now, then please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the spies assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. As an aside, I love the faith of the spies here. When the Lord gives us the land. They know how this story is going to end, don't they? So not only is Rahab saved from death, but she goes on to become Jesus' great, great to the 29 greats grandma, which is pretty awesome. Okay, so those are our stories. Solution-focused is kind of what's going on with our three stories here. Fleeing Egypt, the Israelites, they just wanted to be free rather than killed by the Egyptian army. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. But passing through the Red Sea, how would that save them from the Egyptian army? The Egyptian army would chase them right through the Red Sea. Then seeing Jericho, the Israelites just wanted to enter the promised land. For generations, they'd been waiting. By faith, the walls fell. The Israelites couldn't see how this would play out. They had just marched around the city. And then finally, meeting the spies, Rahab wanted to live through the attack by the Israelites. How's that going to happen? Who knows? Rahab just welcomed the spies by faith. Do you see the pattern here? In each of these cases, the people involved, they had a general big idea of where they needed to be, of what the outcome needed to be, but no idea how to get there. Not only no idea, but it was impossible. Except with their faith eyes, right? By faith they could see, yes, that there is a way to get there, and only by God. Then by faith they took some steps. And so you can see how each of these three stories, how the Israelites, how Rahab, how they fit the Hebrews' definition of faith. Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 2. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. What does that mean for us? Sometimes we just need to be solution-focused. Lord, I can't see a way through this problem. This is the solution that I believe you're creating. By faith, I'm going to step into the action, not knowing how it's going to get me there. When you get to that place, like the Israelites, there's no way to escape the approaching Egyptian army. Like the Israelites, there's no way to take this land that's filled with enemies. Like Rahab, how are my family and I going to survive this? We've heard about the Israelites' God. I'm not a soldier, but I do believe that in times of war, this is sometimes how we proceed. The path to peace is not clear. Questions of right and wrong, evil, not being able to make sense of the world. When you get to that place where there's no out, pray about it. God, I don't see a way out of this. Just tell me what to do. And this is, of course, a picture of our salvation. What's the solution we all want? Even if maybe we can't see what our heart yearns for, we all want a relationship with God, but that's impossible. There's no path to get there. We're so imperfect. Solution focused by faith. We cry out that we want a relationship. God provides the way in Jesus. We follow him by faith. He reaches out to us. There's no way without. This isn't a problem that we can solve on our own. The Israelites, Rahab, they couldn't get to this solution, but God could. He made a way, and he's made a way for you too. Jesus is the way. Amen. So in closing, and let's get the worship band up here again so we can we're all set to worship God. In closing, this finally gets us to our verses for today. We're in this faith section of Hebrews. Next week, God willing, is the last of the faith section. Then we break to think about Advent already. Then back to Hebrews for a few more weeks. But for today, Hebrews 11, 29 to 31. Let's pray. We'll read the verses. We'll worship God. And then we'll all go out and live by faith. Amen. Sounds like a good plan. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would, that when these situations come up where there is no human solution, where there is no path through, where we can't even see a way out, where we're just so drowning in sin, problems, insurmountable issues. Lord, that you would open our eyes to the solution, and by faith, we would hear what you're calling us to. Lord, I pray this for your people, that you would give each of us a new faith. Lord, we pray for those that don't know you, that today would be the day that by faith, they would allow you to make a way for them to be in relationship with you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hebrews 11, 29 to 31. Read along if you have a Bible with you. Watch for the solution-focused faith. And check this too. In this section of Hebrews, we've had a bit of a chronological walk through some of the Old Testament stories. In our three verses today, we hear about the Israelites in the Red Sea, the Israelites in Jericho, and then Rahab and the spies. Rahab hid the spies before the walls of Jericho fell. But here they're presented in the reverse order in Hebrews. It's just a little thing, but I wonder if it isn't reminding us that this is all about God's plan. Right? We're called to faith, but history unrolls according to God's plan. There's no surprise ending or surprise solution for him. So Hebrews 11, 29 to 31. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Amen. Let's praise Jesus. Reign in us.
Let's stand together.